Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Chris Stearns, the chairman of the Washington State Gambling Commission, on the unique structure of gaming in his state. It's every day for all I care, and I'm not scared. Washington State hosts one of the most interesting gaming industries in the U.S. With tribal and commercial casinos, the state is often a beachhead in the gaming industry. Chris Stearns, a member of the Navajo tribe and an expert in Indian gaming law, was appointed to the Washington Gambling Commission in 2013 and recently reappointed to a term that will last until 2021. He has paid close attention to iGaming and possible implications in Washington State, as well as the spread of illegal gaming across the state. He spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas in October. That's okay, shake my head, and I'm not sad. Chris Stearns, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I've been wanting to sit down with you for a long time. I've respected what you've done as a regulator for many years, and Washington State has a reputation of being a very fair regulatory environment, which isn't always the case across the country, and it's difficult to strike that balance, and you've done a great job with that.
Well, thank you, Roger. Really appreciate it. Certainly respect everything you've done over the years and what you've contributed. Yeah, Washington is the second oldest regulatory, our commission is the second oldest regulatory agency in the country, and we do take our work seriously, and Washington has a pretty strong public policy when it comes to gaming. So we try to execute that as best as possible, at the same time recognizing what the citizens of Washington want,
right,
which is, in many cases, and it's certainly as evidenced by the popularity of gaming in Washington.
Okay.
They would like quality games.
Sure. Well, give us a little thumbnail sketch of what the gaming industry is like in Washington. I know they have tribal casinos and these mini casinos as well, and what your area of responsibility is on either one.
Well, we oversee not just the regulation of the commercial games, which are operated by card rooms, by pull tab, punch board, bingo operators, raffles, all that kind of stuff. So we regulate that. We also, regulate or prevent. We're a law enforcement agency, so we are we prevent illegal gaming, and in fact that is a large part of what we do. And then when it comes to tribal gaming, because of the way the federal law is structured, IGRA, we co-regulate essentially with the tribes, and that relationship has changed. I think Washington has a really good structure when it comes to the tribes. We're one of the few states where there is no revenue sharing, and I think that's worked out well for both Washington citizens, but also for the tribal nations.
So the tribes pay any kind of regulatory cost? I know there's no revenue sharing, but
they do. There's actually the cost of regulation that is part of the compacts. So they do make payments. There are also small payments, but they're significant in terms of the actual number, the size, to localities to help mitigate things that come with gaming traffic and such. And then there are also contributions to a responsible gaming program.
Okay. And that's always an important aspect of any regulatory structure, that there is an emphasis on responsible gaming. What kind of attention do you pay to that in Washington?
So we don't really pay the attention of actually carrying out those. The state has an actual program, but there's also the state has partners, and those partners are really active. Evergreen Council on Problem Gaming is one. So under the compact structure, the tribes can not only just operate responsible gaming programs themselves, and many do, but they also partner with Evergreen and do some work with the state. So it's actually pretty robust, but it could always be more.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's always helpful to have a program available to people with those problems, but I guess there's a regulatory requirement that tribes and other gambling establishments have that involved there.
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So tell me about the mini casinos. I mean, I've never been in one in Washington. I've been in a couple of tribal casinos, but are they just like small restaurants and nightclubs with gaming in it?
Some are, but you know, some are actually just, you know, we call them enhanced card rooms.
Okay.
So they you know, can be pretty large in size. Mm-hmm. They're located in urban areas, or located in rural areas, but they're pretty popular. Mm-hmm. There are some limitations that they have that maybe, you know, tribal operators don't have.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, they're very popular. They have, you know, like many people across the country, I mean, there has been some closure of some because of the recession, but we've noticed that the latest numbers we've seen are positive for the card room industry.
Okay. And so how do you work with the individual tribal gaming commissions? Do they come before you with issues, or do you just kind of oversight just to kind of see what they're doing?
Well, we try to, you know, work with them. I mean, that's really the thing. We're you know, we respect what they do. I mean, they've been doing it for a long time. They're are not, you know, the kind of scandals that people talked about would happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think Donald Trump was one of them.
Right.
You know, I remember back in the early 90s or mid-90s, this was going to happen. It hasn't happened. I mean, the tribal gaming agencies, that we call them TGAs, have done very well. So we work with them on licensing of individuals, of the games, of the operators, of the facilities, and all that, and they have their own staff, and so we just communicate with them. Sometimes we have agents who are on site, and more often now the agents are off site, but they'll respond when they're called by the TGA to help out.
Okay. Who oversees your agency? I'm thinking about the situation we've been seeing in California over the past couple of years. Of course, they have a very strange bifurcated regulatory structure in California, but you know, there seems to be some ethical flaws in what was happening there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that from prevent that from happening in Washington?
Well, so our agency is comprised it's an office of the state, so our employees are subject to all the state ethical rules and you know, sanctions and criminal penalties, all that. You know, so there's just as a government employee, they're subject to this. Now, the commissioners, we're appointed by the governor, but we're subject to the same laws too of the state of Washington. And you know, we serve at the pleasure of the governor, so we can be removed for any reason.
Is there an executive director of your commission?
Yeah, we have an executive director, Dave Trujillo, who's actually just done a really wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the few things we also do too in terms of working with the agency. We hire and fire the executive director.
Okay, great. Well, I know you've been very interested in a lot of other regulatory issues, which may not have an immediate impact on the state of Washington, but I know you followed iGaming pretty closely. And, of course, you know, the question of iGaming in Indian country is always a big issue. Give me some of your thoughts on where iGaming is going right now.
Well, we've been following it really for the last, I'd say, 2.5 years or so. And back then, it seemed, you know, what I've learned now is, you know, everything seems like the next biggest thing.
Right,
and
right,
if you don't get on board now, you're screwed.
Right. We're gonna miss
it. You know, it was that kind of attention surrounding it. But one of the things we do is we closely try to make sure we give the governor and the legislature all the information they need. So, you know, we're not just in a reactive stance, but we can proactively see what's happening. So we thought iGaming was something worth paying attention to. And so we started off looking at California in particular. At the time, it seemed like that was a sure bet.
Right.
But it was also the structure is kind of similar in that there are a number of tribes with you know, with facilities there, and they, you know, very active in the political process. And the same thing's true in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
The tribes have done very well and are very much a political force. So, you know, how the tribes responded in California, we, you know, we thought might inform us as to how the tribes might respond in Washington.
Right.
So, but as you know, and I think as your, you know, listeners and your viewers know, it didn't happen as soon as we thought it would happen, and I'm not sure when it will. But that's certainly something that, you know, I think that the tribes are really starting to pay attention to is what effect will that have on their brick and mortar operations?
Right.
How can they work with iGaming or not?
Right. Now, Are most of the tribal casinos in Washington State, are they on reservations? I don't remember any off reservation status in Washington State. It's all on the reservations, and they're all somewhat remote from the major cities.
Yeah, they're all on reservation. Uh-huh. There are a few that are much closer to mm-hmm. urban populations,
yeah,
and those are the really
one right
big
here
ones.
In Spokane, right?
Yeah. the Kalispell tribe, uh-huh. which is actually a little bit further away, but okay. they have land and trust mm-hmm. right near the next to the airport, and
okay.
they operate the Northern Quest
right.
Casino, which is
right.
it's huge and
beautiful,
it's wonderful, beautiful, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are tribes near Seattle on what we call the I-5 mm-hmm. Interstate 5 corridor. And actually there are a number of tribes along the corridor that
okay.
all do pretty well.
Right. I recall reading about a tribe that was going to take over one of the dormant Air Force's bases and turn that into a casino. Is that am I thinking of Washington or is that Oregon maybe? I don't remember.
I'm not sure about that. I think that might have been something that happened before I joined the commission.
So there's been no instances of taking land into trust for gaming purposes in Washington State.
Yeah, the current situation is that there's one huge instance of the Bureau of Indian Affairs putting land into trust, and they have approved. Well, actually, now they're two. They've approved the first part of a two-part mm-hmm. step for the Spokane Tribe, and Spokane Tribe has proposed to have land and gaming operation near the city of Spokane.
Okay.
That is also, you know, stones throw away from mm-hmm. the Kalispell
okay.
Operation, which you talked about earlier.
Right.
So there's some controversy, and that decision now rests with the governor to decide whether or not he's going to concur.
Okay, but you know, the Gambling Commission has no role in that.
No, we have no role in
yeah.
whether what he decides. That's purely up
okay.
to the governor.
Okay,
and the second instance is that the Bureau of Indian Affairs took land into trust for the Kalitz tribe, which is on the I-5 corridor, but much closer to the Portland metro region.
Right.
And that decision by the Bureau of Indian Affairs is under litigation.
Right, right. And that's near the town of La Center, right?
Yeah, it is. It's right near La Center.
Okay.
And La Center actually has a number of card rooms. It's
okay.
almost the center of card rooms.
Okay. Now, the Muckleshoots, didn't they buy a racetrack? And did they put a casino there, or are they just conducting racing there?
The Muckleshoot tribe in Auburn has purchased and now operates the Emerald Downs
mm-hmm.
racetrack, and they're not. I haven't heard about them putting a casino
okay,
there.
Okay, so it's just.
I mean, their operation is, I'd say, probably about 4 miles away or maybe
okay.
5 miles away,
uh-huh.
and it's thriving.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not. You know, I think they're happy. I shouldn't speak for them, but
yeah.
what I've been to the racetrack and,
mm-hmm.
and it does well. They're very popular.
Okay. Now, when someone becomes an executive at a tribal casino,
mm-hmm.
is the Tribal Gaming Commission responsible for for doing the licensing of that official? So you again, you just oversee that without actually doing the investigation and things like that.
We also license individuals
okay.
who work at Class 3 facilities.
Right.
So. We do that with the tribe. The tribe will often do the first pass
mm-hmm.
through, and they'll make their decision. And then if there is some decision that we don't agree on, we can work that out.
Okay. Now, do you have any relationship with the NIGC? Do you consult with them or follow any of their regulations?
We don't really work with the NIGC.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that would be the Individual Tribal Gaming Commission.
Yeah, because that's that. You know, they're,
right.
they're going to mostly be on Class 2
right,
gaming
right.
operations, which we have no jurisdiction
mm-hmm.
over.
Okay. You know, over the years, I've been surprised that there have been so many vendors that really got their start in Washington State,
mm-hmm.
Especially the table game vendors, starting different. The Galaxy Gaming people really got their start there.
Mm-hmm.
There's some table games that are unique to Washington State. Do you get involved in approving those games?
Yeah, we
yeah.
we do get involved. And it's more my own personal interpretation of what you were just talking about. But I think one of the reasons that there are a number of people who get their start in Washington is that our rules are actually very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can pass Washington's
right.
Requirements,
mm-hmm.
you can probably get your game license in other jurisdictions pretty easily.
Okay. And I've been surprised that there have been so many of them up there. So I guess that's the reason, because they really just slide into the other jurisdictions that would say, hey, Washington approved it. It's okay with us, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, that's how we like to think of it.
Okay, right. So testing slot machines, that's always a big issue. Do you use private labs up there?
We have our own lab. Okay. I mean, we don't have slot machines. Uh-huh. What we have is... The tribes have a tribal lottery system, which is an electronic machine that is based on a scratch lottery ticket.
Okay.
Those are Class 3 machines. But
they're Class 3 machines?
Yes, they're Class 3, and they we approve those. We test those.
Okay.
But the tribes also work with their own testers, some of whom are here.
And that's
something we're looking at the request of the tribes is... You know, is there actual duplication, and if so, is that something that needs to be changed?
Mm-hmm.
So we're having those kind of discussions with the tribes right now.
Okay. So in the card rooms, do they have any electronic table games, or are they just limited to real live card play?
They're limited to the live card play. They also operate pull tabs.
Pull tabs. Okay.
So
are they electronic pull tabs or the real?
No, they're not electronic pull tabs.
Okay.
That is. I think that issue has come up in the past, but that would require the legislature to act, and they haven't expressed any interest in doing that.
There's always been, certainly from the anti-gaming side, a perception that Indian gaming is unregulated, and whereas those of us in the business know it's regulated at so many levels, and I think Washington State has that state gambling commission level, which some states don't have. Connecticut, for example, I think they just have the tribal, and there's a very small oversight from the state police. What do you say to those kind of people when they say tribal gaming isn't regulated?
Well, what we say is that our experience is that tribal gaming is not only regulated, but it is well regulated.
Mm-hmm.
It is very effective, and we recently, our director Dave Trujillo, recently testified in Washington before the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, based on the GAO report, which talked about how regulation is happening, and we said we have a very good relationship with the tribes, and we can certainly say that they do an exceedingly great job of regulating gaming in Washington.
Right. Well, from everything I've heard and just from knowing you, I can make sure that that's really true. I mean, the integrity you bring to the job, I think is exemplary, and congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good seeing you again.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. If you want to read more about this issue or any issue in the gaming industry, read our magazine, GGB Magazine, or visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the gaming industry, subscribe to GGB News. For more information, visit ggbnews.com. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.